Alrighty, what's going on, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of the Trent Corville Show. I am him. We are back and better than ever, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? I don't know if you've checked your calendar, checked your clocks recently. It's March, baby. We are in March. And, I was a little bit depressed after football season because, you know, I've been in a new job, a new position where I really have to follow closely everything going on in the sports world, and football captivates majority of that. So my entire existence from July till February was all football all the time, college and NFL. And yes, I do miss it. It's sad. I'm upset about it. But at the same time, this is March, baby. We've got college basketball. The NBA is heating up. We got about 20 games left in the regular season for the NBA. Really excited to see how Philadelphia does with James Harden and Joel Embiid. How about the Miami Heat, by the way? Bias, I don't care. They're the number one seed in the East right now. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero. The boys are getting after it. But I want to start with this before we get into my March Madness breakdown, okay? Baseball stinks. I'm coming out and say it. Baseball stinks. And it's not the sport itself. It's professional baseball and Rob Manfred and these greedy corporate fat cat owners, okay, that just want to take every dollar possible from the players and not give any of it back. And I love the argument. There's a lot of people that are on the owner's side for some reason. I don't understand it because, oh, Max Scherzer, who makes $300 million, is the voice of it. Max Scherzer's not fighting for more money for himself. These guys aren't fighting for more money for themselves. They're fighting for the minor league players. They're fighting for the guys who are trying to get a roster spot for minimum salaries. They don't want to expand the playoff. I mean, a lot of guys have been on Twitter, a lot of MLB players saying, so we're just going to give out participation trophies if we expand the playoff. That's just what it is. And I 150% agree you do not need to expand the MLB playoff whatsoever. But the players are fighting for the greater good of baseball players. And we've seen this in the NFL. We've seen this in the NBA where the commissioner of the league really takes the players' side on the majority of things. Now, obviously, the owners run the show. The commissioner is just there, hate to say it, as a puppet. You know, they talk with the owners, but a guy like Adam Silver, you know, really goes for the players. He's on the players' side. And, you know, Roger Goodell, I would like to hope he's on the players' side. That's not really the case. But at the same time, compared to Rob Manfred, this absolute puppet, he does not care whatsoever about the fans. He doesn't care whatsoever about the players. I mean, there's so many ways, like these lower income franchises like the Pittsburgh Pirates and teams like that, they've done so many really slimy things to players, like keeping a young star down in the minor leagues just so they don't have to pay them when it's very clear and evident that he should probably be in the major leagues. I mean, the Chicago Cubs did it. Chris Bryant was due a ton of money, but he had to play 170 games. They sent him down to the minor leagues when he hit the 120 mark. Didn't play him. They didn't have to pay him. That's wrong. That's wrong, and it cannot happen. And so baseball now, the first 2 weeks of the season are canceled. There will be no opening day. There's no spring training. And I feel bad for pure baseball fans. Granted, you won't see me watching a regular season baseball game. Very rare. Very rare. Because it's tough for me. And I'm perfectly fine with admitting that. Baseball is a great sport. I follow it. I read about it. But I can't sit down and watch 9 innings of baseball when the score is 1-1. I just can't do it. It's not entertaining for me. And what are sports as a whole? It's entertainment, folks. And you know what is entertaining? See that segue right there? March Madness, baby. College basketball. It is all the way back. This past weekend, folks, if this is any indication of what March will look like, the top 6 teams in the AP Top 25 all lost on Saturday. Every single one of them, including Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, Duke, you name it, they lost. Absolutely beautiful. For bank accounts across the country, not great whatsoever, okay? Yes, I'm in that camp, but I will tell you, had St. Mary's money line against Gonzaga at plus 480, thank you very much. And I only placed that bet because I was watching the entire day and seeing, oh, Kansas lost, Arizona lost, Duke lost, Gonzaga's going to lose. Oh my goodness, we got to hop on this opportunity immediately. And let me get into Gonzaga real quick. I might seem like, and if you listen to last year's March Madness episodes, I might seem like a Gonzaga hater, and I am. They play in the West Coast Conference, ladies and gentlemen, and as we've seen this season, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10, especially the SEC, is playing phenomenal basketball. Phenomenal basketball. Gonzaga is a good basketball team. There's no doubt about it. They made it to the national championship last year. Consensus number one overall. They barely lost any games and then lose to a Big 12 team. Not even close, by the way. It wasn't even a contest at the end of it. So I really have concerns when it comes to Gonzaga. Drew Timmy, mustache guy. Drew Timmy, power forward for him. Can't stand him whatsoever. If you put Drew Timmy in the SEC right now, or put Drew Timmy in the Big 10 right now, taking on Wisconsin, Purdue, Michigan. By the way, we got to talk about Juwan Howard. We'll get to him in a second. What a move. What a move. Anyways, but if you put Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren, you know, at a Purdue, at a Auburn, would they have the same success in the regular season? I don't think so whatsoever. Whatsoever. But when you look at the West Coast Conference, you got two teams, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. St. Mary's took down Gonzaga over the weekend. And it's funny, listen to this stat right here. Gonzaga is the consensus number one overall. In the West Coast Conference the last 13 years, Gonzaga and St. Mary's are the only teams that have won the conference in the last 13 years. So if that shows you the competitiveness in the conference, that they're really not playing anybody. If the next best team outside of Gonzaga and St. Mary's is San Francisco College, you're going to have a problem in the tournament. I would love to predict, and I will predict right now, Gonzaga won't make it to the Elite Eight. They won't. Somebody's going to come in and give them the business, and I hope it's an SEC school. Speaking of the SEC, it is anyone's ball game. Anyone's ball game right now in the SEC. Obviously, Kentucky. Okay, you got Oscar Tshiebwe, likely the player of the year in college basketball this season. Unbelievable talent. Unbelievable talent. He scores in the paint. He's got a mid-range jumper, and you know, if you watch highlights of Charles Barkley and Dennis Rodman grabbing rebounds, this guy fights for rebounds. But Kentucky, the main thing about Kentucky that concerns me, Ty Washington, their guard as well as a phenomenal basketball player, is their depth. If Oscar Tshiebwe, and we saw it when Kentucky and Tennessee faced off, Tennessee, another great team, when Kentucky and Tennessee faced off, Ty Washington was out. The only guy they had was Oscar Tshiebwe. They lost by 14 points. And they've dropped a couple games that they shouldn't have dropped. So Kentucky concerns me just a tad, but they are a top 10 team. They are very good, but we're going to have to keep watching them. I mean, obviously, Coach Cal gets all this praise, and I know he's kind of a scummy guy. I get it. He's got one national championship. And I was actually on radio about an hour and a half ago screaming into the microphone about how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. I understand how hard it is to win a national championship, but there's so much praise that comes with Coach Cal. And I really disagree with that. He's one of the greatest of all time because the teams that he's put together, and you know, I might be backtracking on that because he put those teams together, Anthony Davis, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, guys like that. But Kentucky's depth really concerns me going into conference tournament time because we're going to start here pretty soon. The SEC's wrapping up its regular season, and this weekend we're hitting the ground running with the conference tournament. Kentucky, obviously a big team to watch. Tennessee, got to give a shout out to my guy, Charleston boy, Charleston native, Portugal graduate, Josiah James, number 30 for Tennessee, playing phenomenal basketball right now. He's about 6'8". He's big. He's stocky. He plays the guard position. He can go down low. He's got a great jumper. If Tennessee made the Final Four, I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. They play phenomenal basketball. Another team in the SEC to watch besides the Florida Gators. I mean, the Florida Gators, at the start of the season, I was ashamed to watch their basketball games. We got this big old guy, Castleton, okay? Christian Castleton. He's a ball player, all right? We got Tyree Appleby. He's a ball player as well. But at the same time, it's not enough. It's like Kentucky. It's not enough to get it done when you don't have the depth. But, you know, Florida's on a rise, feeling good. But they won't be able to compete with Kentucky, Tennessee, and the other team, Arkansas. Arkansas is playing really good basketball right now. Musselman's got the boys going. They've got some really big guys on the inside that you're going to have to watch. But the main team in the SEC, obviously, is Auburn. Bruce Pearl, Jabari Smith, I believe, is their guard. He's about 6'9". He can shoot the jumper. And Walker Kessler, UNC transfer, now at Auburn. The guy's got over 100-plus blocks this season in 30-some games. He was averaging like 6.5 blocks a game. That's absolutely unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. They have the depth to go win it all. They do. But they've dropped a couple games. Arkansas beat them. Florida beat them. A couple other teams have beat them in conference that you don't want to see going into conference tournament time. But Bruce Pearl is an absolute electric factory, their head coach. I'm assuming that they're going to go far. But again, this is March, baby. We have no clue what's going to happen. It's funny. The regular season kind of means nothing in college basketball. Means nothing because everybody goes to the conference tournament. So really, now this is the start of the season going into conference tournament time. Very excited. Auburn's probably my pick, quite honestly, for the SEC tournament. I would think they would win it. Kentucky's got a shot. Tennessee has a massive shot. I love this Tennessee team. Arkansas, same thing. Musselman is awesome. He's in a sling. He's sweating all, you know, crazy after they beat Kentucky. And he's just screaming at Marty Smith. And Marty Smith's going, all right, all right. You guys run a good program over here. You guys got a good program. G-R-U-M. Program, by the way. P-R-O-G-R-U-M. Program. Marty Smith is a big program guy. But Musselman, he can really coach. I'm really excited to see this SEC tournament. What I'm not excited for is the ACC tournament. Because every team besides Duke in the ACC stinks. Message to Jim Boeheim, hang them up. Hang them up, pal. You're running the same 2-3 zone that, you know, that's so outdated, it's not even funny. And when you got teams like Duke, I mean, Paolo Banchero is obviously a beast. He's probably going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft for Duke. They've got a lot of other good players as well. But you usually have a Syracuse or a Virginia or Virginia Tech, you know, a North Carolina State that'll make some noise in the tournament. I personally think there is no team in the ACC that can come anywhere near Duke right now. Anywhere near them. Virginia beat them a couple weeks back. That was an awesome game. But still, I mean, that's regular season, you know. And I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show yet. I'm not a Coach K guy. All right, I've never enjoyed Coach K. I've always thought it was a little much, if you will. You know, all his antics, everybody who praises him, looks at him as a god. I get it. He's a 5-time NCAA champion, probably the greatest basketball, you know, greatest college basketball coach of all time. But this whole, like, farewell tour and the ACC and everybody, like, you know, and I've taken some heat on it on air, but it's just like, every team that they're playing in the ACC is giving him a plaque and a video tribute and all this stuff. It's like, did you really need this? Like, we just saw the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, lose in the NFC Championship game and retire. He didn't take a farewell tour. He didn't need all that. And granted, Kobe Bryant took a farewell tour. Rest in peace to the Most High for Kobe Bryant. But Kobe Bryant deserved a farewell tour. Kobe, like, you knew Kobe was near retirement. And he was so competitive that he just wanted to keep playing, but he knew he wanted to leave. So I'll give Kobe a pass on that. Give Kobe a pass for anything, quite honestly. But Coach K is a different story because you're a coach, right? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the players. And it seems like, I mean, this weekend is Coach K's last home game at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Tickets are selling a minimum $5,000. There's a 2-hour special on College Game Day about Coach K. There's a simulcast going on with former players and things of that nature during the game. It's like, it's a little much for a guy who, and I didn't realize this, and this has made me dislike Coach K even more. He doesn't do the halftime interviews. You know, when, like, you know, after at the halftime, Molly McGrath or some of the phenomenal ESPN sideline reporters will go to the coach, get a couple words. He hasn't done them in like 10 years. He makes his assistants go do him because he doesn't have the time. Get out of here, dude. I'm so sick of Coach K. I'm so glad he's gone. I really am. And I'm very excited for John Shire, his assistant coach right now, who's going to take over the program, even though it's interesting with Coach K. One, they're keeping his office at Duke, so basically he's not leaving, and he's going to oversee everything going on in the program. And two, the administration at Duke wanted the head coach of Harvard, I'm blanking on his name, he was a former assistant of Coach K, played for Coach K, now the head coach at Harvard. All the administration said, that's our guy. Let's go get him to replace Coach K. Coach K came in and said, no, that's not going to happen. John Shire is the guy. He even said to the head coach of Harvard, you have to quit your job right now as a head coach in the Ivy Leagues. You have to come down to Duke and be an assistant under me again for a year if you want the head coaching job. What are we doing here? Have you ever seen anything like this in your life? I haven't. Hey, Coach K, you're done. You're done. He's keeping the corner office. You know, apparently he's going to be involved with recruits and the whole thing. It's like, God, and I feel bad for John Shire. I really do. I hope he runs a great program, but he's going to have the looming Coach K right over his shoulder. You know, and I just hate that for John Shire. But the ACC right now, Duke is the only team to beat. There's nobody else that's going to be competitive in the ACC. Now, as far as the Big 12 goes, it's going to get very interesting. Obviously, the defending national champions, the Baylor Bears, they're 13-4 right now in Big 12 play. They started off slow, They had a couple injuries. They've moved on up, and they're playing very well. They're the number one team in the Big 12 right now. And it is fun to see, like, you know, Duke is back really good. Kansas is back really good. Arizona's really good. Gonzaga. The Blue Bloods are back. You know, Kentucky's very good. It feels like, hey, this kind of feels, you know, like 10, 12 years ago when these were the teams that you were watching because it's been so much parity. A team that has been on the rise, Texas Tech, they are third right now in the Big 12. You know, put the guns up, absolutely. And the Texas Longhorns, 10-7. But those top three teams that I just mentioned right there, Baylor, Kansas, and Texas Tech, all have a legitimate shot to make, you know, to win the Big 12 and to go on a run. Do I see a Big 12 team making it to the Final Four? No, I do not. But at the same time, again, this is March, baby. Anything can happen. The Big 12 consistently over the past 10 years has put multiple teams into the NCAA tournament. I believe they have 7 going in. The SEC has 9 going in. Big 10 has 9 going in as well. And speaking of the Big 10, real quick, Juwan Howard, and I don't believe I've talked about it on the show yet, the good old, you know, the bear claw to the Wisconsin assistant coach. And this might be controversial, okay? This might be something that people are like, no, that was wrong. He can't do that. And I absolutely agree. Juwan Howard deserved to be suspended. He deserved to get the punishment and the fine that he needed. But it's also, let's remember who that is. That's Juwan Howard, Fab Five member, NBA player. And when you watch the video up close, the Wisconsin head coach, Greg Garb, okay, which, by the way, nobody knew who that was until this video came out. Everybody knows who Juwan Howard is. I get that Juwan Howard was telling him, I'm going to remember that, because if you don't know the situation, Michigan was pressing with about 15 seconds left and Wisconsin had their backups in. Wisconsin was up about 12, 13 points. So Greg Garb calls the timeout so they don't get the 10-second violation. Juwan Howard in the handshake line was saying, I'm going to remember that. And it was very clear that it was going to be a blow-by. You know, we see coaches do it all the time. Quick handshake, don't really say anything to each other, walk by. That happens all the time. Greg Garb, when he heard, I'm going to remember that, in the handshake line, grabbed Juwan Howard and stopped him. And I get that, you know, he was just trying to explain himself. But you guys are Big Ten coaches. You probably have his phone number. Maybe not in the heat of the moment, you stop that man and, you know, grab him and say, no, let me explain to you what I was trying to do. So in a way, I can see where Juwan Howard got incredibly frustrated. Now, should Juwan Howard thrown that slap? Absolutely not. But the thing about it is, when you watch the video up close, Juwan Howard's already heated. They've already separated. And it seemed like a Wisconsin and a Michigan player were having, you know, they were about to go after it. And the assistant coach for Wisconsin, who Juwan Howard slapped, grabbed one of the Michigan players and kind of shoved him. You know, didn't grab his own player, grabbed the Michigan player and shoved him. And that's when you see Juwan Howard come over the top and smack him, okay? So this narrative, that's assault. Juwan Howard assaulted that man, is absolutely ridiculous. In my opinion, Juwan Howard was standing up for his own pride, which I understand as a man, and two, standing up for his kids. If I was a head coach, and, you know, not comparing this to Juwan Howard's situation, I was a head coach – of a 5 and 6 year old flag football team. Okay. And at the last game of the season, I had a grown man, and I was 17 at the time, had a grown man get in my face and tell me, you know, that my kids were cheating, that we shouldn't be hitting and all this, that that's wrong. And he got in my face. If I wasn't in that situation as a coach, I probably would have done something very inappropriate to that guy. I take big offense if you're coming up to me and telling me something that I already know. Juwan Howard knew the situation. He understood it. And for Greg Garb to grab him and be like, no, 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 let me explain to you in the handshake line why I did that. I don't think that was the correct move for Greg Garb. You should have read the situation. Like, if I was him, I would have just called him. Called him right after the game. Hey, coach, like, I know you're upset. Let me explain myself real quick. You don't have to say anything. I'll hang up as soon as I'm done. Explain it, done. And then he's going on press conference saying, well, I was just trying to make sure Juwan Howard knew the rules. You're going to get somebody real fired up if you think that a head basketball coach at Michigan doesn't know the rules. Okay, so I'm defending Juwan Howard a little bit. Obviously, can't slap another coach. Can't do it. Won't have it. Not what sports are about. But when your assistant coach, when you see an assistant coach on another team grab and touch one of your players, I feel like for me, if that coach I was talking about with the 5 and 6 year olds would have touched any of my players, it would have been a completely different story. Might have gone to prison. That's it. Like, you don't touch one of my guys. All right. You can talk to him. You can say whatever you want to him, but you don't touch him because now we got a bigger problem. So I get what Juwan Howard was going for. As far as Michigan goes, not a great basketball team right now. They're going to struggle to make the tournament. But again, it starts over. Conference tourney time. It's anybody's ballgame in the Big Ten. But Wisconsin is really good. Is really good. They beat Purdue for the regular season title last night. Absolutely phenomenal game. Johnny Davis is the star on Wisconsin. He's a very good basketball player. Purdue is a top 10 team as well. They have a 7'4" center who can't really move, but man, he wreaks havoc. He's a problem. They got some good guards. So the Big Ten is going to be very interesting to watch in the tournament. Look for Wisconsin and Purdue to make some runs. Ohio State's a top 25 team, but they lost to Nebraska, who's won 7 games this season. So I don't even know what's going on with them. And same thing with their football program. Nebraska just can't figure it out week in and week out. Feel bad for them. Not really, though, because they've done it to themselves. But the Big Ten, very interesting to watch. Johnny Davis, personally, in my opinion, is the best player in college football. 6'8" guard, college basketball, excuse me. 6'8" guard, can shoot from anywhere on the court. Creates shots that very few people are able to create. Off dribble, on dribble, things of that nature. Beautiful player. Absolutely beautiful. And the last one I want to talk about here, the Pac-12. So Arizona, Southern Cal, and UCLA all in the running. Let's remember UCLA went to the Final Four. Johnny Juzang and Tiger Washington, all right? I absolutely love those guys. They're back playing. UCLA, let's remember last year, they were an 11 seed. They were in the play-in game for the tournament. They had to play in to get into the tournament because their record wasn't good enough, and they got in and went all the way to the Final Four. An absolute Cinderella story. So I'm hoping we get another one of those from UCLA, but Arizona and Southern Cal are very good basketball teams. Very good. Arizona is, I said it a couple weeks ago on ESPN Radio, I said Arizona is probably my team to win it all. It's been a while since Arizona's won. You know, it's been a long time for a West Coast team to go out there and win it besides, you know, Gonzaga every once in a while. So I'm really loving Arizona. Southern Cal is the same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just so excited for March. Like, we are kicking this thing off. I'm very, very excited, and you should be too. And also, I greatly appreciate everybody listening today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. Be a friend, see a friend, tell a friend. Share it with a friend, and I will see you all next week. Peace and love.